from the moment that the Jussie Smollett story broke in Chicago last month, there felt like there was just something not right with it. But at the same time, you wouldn't want to think that a human being would make up a story like that. If you haven't been paying attention, Jussie Smollett is an actor from the show Empire. He called police after saying that he had been brutally attacked by two men. They had a rope they tied around his neck. They threw bleach at him. They yelled obscenities. They talked about being pro-Trump and white America. And then his story slowly started to unravel. The first inkling that something was not right was when the police in Chicago couldn't find any sort of video evidence of the attack taking place. Now, keep in mind, you're talking about a giant metropolitan area where there are cameras on streetlights and buildings and stores and businesses and all of those things. And then they found two suspects and they wanted to speak to him. And the details get a little mushy. As of this evening, he's been charged with filing a false police report, which, if he's found guilty, is a felony. Sounds like he has been written off the Empire show. And it brought me back to a story I remember from high school. And if you were from the area and you were living here in 2004, you'll likely remember it as well. Audrey Seeler was a student at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. On March 27th of 2004, she disappeared. She's a Rockford, Minnesota native. She was studying in Madison. And I was a senior in high school. I was getting ready to graduate and go to school. And I remember every television in town being glued to this missing woman because they found really strange surveillance tape from inside her dorm of her leaving the dorm. And that was the last time she was seen. Now, keep in mind, this is 2004. So the internet is around. Texting is around. But it is not what it is today with social media and geotags and being connected at every point in life. In fact, 2004 is like the very early style of cell phones, like the old school Nokias that had the snake game on it that you could change out the faceplate. So we aren't even talking like GPS in the cell phone to ping it. So she goes missing and everyone is looking for her. Every time you turn on the TV, you open the newspaper, it is about the search for this young woman. And then they find her and everyone rejoices. She's found in this marshy area. 4 days after disappearing, about 2 miles away from where she had disappeared from, she told police she had been abducted from her room at knife point. She later then recanted that when the videotape showed her buying a knife, a rope, and duct tape from a local store that also matched up with the items she said her abductor had used. It comes out that she was suffering from depression and college wasn't going the way she thought it was supposed to go. And she was having issues with her boyfriend. And in this desperate attempt to make it all end, she faked her own kidnapping. The Madison Police Department spent $100,000 trying to find her. To this day, I don't know if they actually know where she was hiding out during the 4 days that she was missing. But it's one of my earliest memories of public shaming. Here was a young woman who made a stupid mistake. And I'm not comparing this into the idea of what Jussie Smollett did in Chicago, because that's a whole other ballgame. But here's a young woman who is dealing with a mental illness, is far away from home, is in a place where she is expected to succeed at all points of schooling, and she has no idea what to do, and she gets this idea in her head that this might be her way out. And I'm not condoning it by any means of the imagination, but I have definitely felt the feeling of, what if I could just pick up, pack my car, and call it a day? It's been a while since I have felt that way, but I have definitely felt that feeling before. She became the butt of jokes. She became a topic of conversation. Her story was told over and over again, everywhere from morning talk shows to an Oprah Winfrey episode on Pathological Liars. So she was sentenced. She had to pay back some of the money that was spent. And then she actually had to volunteer in the organization that she ended up volunteering with was the Jacob Wetterling Foundation. So she moved back home. She got involved with the organization. It was a part of her punishment. But then she got help. And the thing that I found so interesting, so take this entire incident off the table for a second. This young woman, Audrey Seeler, she's a young college student. She makes this terrible mistake. She has to own up to it. She becomes the butt of the jokes. But then what is life like moving forward? Do people always remember her as that woman who faked her own kidnapping in Madison? Now, I get it's 2014, so we're talking 15 years ago. But when I looked up her name online, there wasn't a LinkedIn account. There wasn't a blog or a Facebook page or an Instagram. And maybe you think that she doesn't deserve that because of the lie and the thing that she did. But I just, if you want to tell your kids about the power of how your actions as a young adult stick with you, the fact that in 2019 there's not an inch of evidence that this woman exists online except for a mistake she made in 2004, it really stuck with me. And maybe she doesn't need social media. Maybe she doesn't need to connect with people that way. But I think of the connections I make career-wise on websites like LinkedIn. I think of the things that I share with my family. And to just know that you are forever branded by this mistake you made. And so when the Jussie Smollett story started unraveling, that was the thing that kept coming back in my mind, because when she disappeared, we all thought this young woman is gone. We're never going to see her again. The next step will be the investigation into who took her, who killed her. I remember watching the breaking news. They had found her and they showed this office building in this marshy area. And this feeling of just surreal hope. Because it's so rare that that actually happens, that someone goes missing and they're found and they're okay. And then when the story started to unravel, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to think that any person would be in that situation. Do I think that there's probably a little bit about it that she wanted some attention? Sure. But seeking help, in a sense, is wanting attention. It's wanting someone to notice what's going on. I think doing it in 2004 and doing it in 2019 are incredibly different things. There was a story a couple weeks ago about kids who are disappearing for a couple of days in hopes of seeing their face on the local news. You know, their parents send in their high school graduation shot, and there they are, forever in infamy. And then they, of course, come back. The only issue is there are actually people missing in this country who need the help. You know, we can talk all day long about media coverage and the good that it does in major stories. Jamie Kloss is a prime example of that. And then we can go down the unfortunate side of people of color who go missing, especially women who go missing, who aren't your beautiful, blonde, from a good town girls, you know, the Elizabeth Smarts of the world, those that go missing who aren't as click-worthy, unfortunately, in the media world. And it is, it's a pretty disappointing part of journalism, the stories that are chosen to be covered and what's not chosen to be covered. And you can look at it however you want, but those numbers don't lie, especially here in the state of Minnesota. And I know Hennepin County is doing a lot to change that. I've seen a lot of stuff that they're working on to pursue those cases, and I think that's awesome. But whatever comes out with this Jussie Smollett, I hope he is receiving some help, because pulling out a whopper like that regardless of what you wanted the end game to be, you know, maybe he thought he was doing this big favor by exposing something. There's rumors there was a letter that was delivered, a racist letter. Now there's rumors that he was involved in that. And it just becomes so muddied as to what the actual truth is. The bottom line is, if it's not real, if he took resources away from a city that needed it to play some little game, throw the book at him. I mean, the Jacob Wetterling Foundation, they'll take it. I'm sure there are a lot of hate groups that'll take his volunteering hours. It's disappointing. It's disappointing that we live in an era where you have to wonder if what someone is saying is actually true or if it's just for the reaction that they're going to get. So I think I joked in the 9 o'clock hour that I was going to go viral. What was my viral video going to be? I can't even remember now. I was going to go viral for something and it was going to make me a lot of money, but sounds like that is a disaster waiting to happen. It is 11:20 on WCCO. We're going to move along to a conversation about healthy eating, nutrition. I know it's kind of weird to talk meal prep on a radio station. I can't really show you, but it's something that I'm super passionate about. It's something I get asked a lot about. And we're going to bring a nutritionist into the conversation as well. If you're someone who maybe made New Year's resolutions to clean up your eating or even just be better about planning ahead, we've got some great tips that we'll get to coming up shortly here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I grew up very lucky. I had two parents who were great cooks. My mom did most of it when I was younger. But when my dad retired, he did a lot of cooking. And it was kind of a balance. Dad did a lot of cooking up at the cabin in the summer. A lot of fish fries, a lot of green beans, sliced tomatoes, a little salt and pepper on top. But my mom was the cook of the house. And so I'll just take it and say that I inherited a lot of their gifts. I love to cook. So far, no one has told me to stop. So that's a good sign. And what I really love is meal prepping and planning. And I know like people are groaning because for some people that is just too much work. I do it this way. I set it up on the weekends. I watch some TV. Like I pick out a show that John doesn't enjoy. Something super cheesy, usually a reality TV show. I set up my computer, I turn on the show, and then I get my meals ready for the week. And it's nothing crazy. I'm not baking lasagnas or anything like that, but just having things on hand, you know, getting your veggies chopped up, grilling some chicken. You know, the other night, John and I both came home and we're like, neither of us want to cook. We had a bag salad in the fridge. I had grilled some chicken the other day, so we pulled that out. We chopped up some extra veggies. Threw a loaf of bread in the oven, and it was like dinner was done in 10 minutes. And I have to say, the stress that that takes off the table is so monumental that if I could come to each and every one of your homes and help you do it, I would do it in a heartbeat. Because I know some people enjoy cooking. Some people look at it as a chore, which it should technically kind of be considered. You know, you think on the weekends you break down the responsibilities. This guy's going to clean the kitchen. This guy's going to do the bathroom. Someone's going to vacuum. We'll do a couple load of laundry. It should be the same when you're looking at your kitchen, because I think we would all make we would make better choices if our fridges were stocked and ready to go. And that means the unfortunate side of going grocery shopping, coming home, doing a little prep, and then being set for the week. Like even today, it was a weird 2 days for me because normally I'm on Chad's show. So I'll get up in the morning and I'll do my prep from home and I get all set for the show. I come in, I do our last minute prep before the show, then I'm on air. So I have time to make breakfast in the morning and then I'll take lunch with me and then I'll eat dinner at home. Today I'm sitting at home and it's noon and I'm like, you know what? I am going to make some bacon wrapped chicken breast because I had time to do it. So I got everything ready. I threw it in the oven. And while it was baking, I shoveled the driveway. It was just kind of like everything was there. It was done. It was ready to go. And food is something I've always struggled with, in all honesty. I am an emotional eater. I eat when I'm happy. I eat when I'm sad. I eat when I'm excited. I eat when I'm bored. I eat when the sun is up and I eat when the sun is down. I love to eat. And I unfortunately make a lot of bad choices when I don't do planning. So cutting out some of those opportunities to sneak across the street and get Skyway Chinese food, which is my favorite part about work. It's the best part of working downtown, and it's the worst part of working downtown is all the food options. Because if I worked somewhere else, I would have to bring my lunch and I wouldn't have to worry about it. But when you've got every type of food right there across the street in a nice, warm, connected little hamster, you know. Yep. You don't even have to step foot on the ground outside to go get a delicious meal. So we've talked about this on Chad's show. Right now, I am the face of a campaign for Lifetime, the fitness clubs here in the Twin Cities. They've got clubs across the United States, some in Canada. So if you walk into a Lifetime right now, you will see two giant photos of me. The other day, I got a notification from Facebook that someone had uploaded a photo of me, and it was someone I didn't know. And that's the scary thing with technology is now they recognize your face so well from all the photos you've posted that I get this notification that some man in Eden Prairie has posted a photo of me. So I go and I click on it. I'm going to decide if I'm going to accept this tag or not. Well, it wasn't really a photo of me. It was a photo of his girlfriend in a Lifetime with my photos behind her. So he had surprised her with a massage and a manicure for Valentine's Day. And it was a very sweet, lovely post about him and his girlfriend's Facebook trying to tag me in the back. So I went to Lifetime because they have been such a big part of me figuring out my 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 rule is 80% of the time you're on. You're eating healthy. You're eating what you're supposed to. And then you give yourself that 20% wiggle room. And my 20% wiggle room is nachos at Pub 42. It's that glass of wine every once in a while. Okay, so it's that extra glass of wine every once in a while. I'm not a huge sweets person. But when I plan my weekends, I can settle into that 80%. And then I know, like, this week, Fogo de Chao Friday night, so excited. I'm so excited because I've never been. I know there's going to be a lot of things to try, a lot of delicious foods, but that I'm fitting into my 20% this week. So I reached out to Lifetime. I said, I want someone to come on and just give some basic tips because trying to overhaul everything at once isn't maintainable. You can't do it. You get overwhelmed. And you last a couple of days, and then once you realize that you can't do it perfectly, you fall right back into your old habits. So we are going to bring on a nutritionist from Lifetime to just offer up some casual ideas. She's going to come on. We're going to talk about it. And then I would love for you to chime in. What works for you? Do you have meal planning down pat? Is it something you struggle with? Do you have a go-to meal? I was just saying to Susan, last week I made egg salad 5 times so I could perfect the seasoning because I used Greek yogurt instead of mayonnaise, and it threw me for a loop. But with Greek yogurt, it's like an eighth of the calories and actually has protein in it. I mean, mayonnaise is delicious, but defeats the purpose. So we're going to get to that conversation when we come back here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Radio.com. Radio.com. I mentioned yesterday getting on the scale at the gym with a trainer next to me and having him go through my stats and being a little weary because there was another woman there and you're a little vulnerable. You're throwing out some numbers I'm maybe not okay with, but I was very happy with myself because over the long term of my time working out at Lifetime, I have dropped my body fat percentage by almost 6% and I've gained almost 4 pounds of muscle and I've dropped about 8 pounds. And it may not seem like the craziest jump in the world, but I also feel like I've found a lifestyle I can maintain. And a big part of that has happened because of what I'm doing in the kitchen. And so I'm super excited to bring Julie Brown, a nutrition coaching program manager at Lifetime, into the conversation because Lifetime has been instrumental in helping me develop little habits over time that have made these changes. And so I want to bring Julie in to talk about things that people could be doing that they maybe don't know about. So Julie, right off the bat, the big one that stands out for me that I didn't know about until I'll say it was 2 years ago, but I really didn't start implementing it into my daily life until about a year ago, is the importance of protein.
Oh, 100%. And before we really dive into that, I just have to congratulate you on the changes that you've made and the results that you're seeing because of that. I think it's super powerful to be able to showcase for people that it is just a series of habits that you've adopted on a consistent basis to get those results. So congratulations to you, Lizzie.
Thank you. You know, honestly, meal prepping on the weekends with a good Netflix binge on the computer, on the countertop, it does wonders.
Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. A little mix and mingle between some downtime and some work time.
Yes.
Prepared for the week.
Yeah.
Works out in the end. And, you know, with that in mind, you bring up a really important topic that everybody who's looking to achieve their best wellness, their best healthy way of life, is going to need some consistent protein intake. We want to make sure that each person has an adequate amount of protein coming in at varying points throughout their day. I think it's going to be really empowering for people to know that having a source of protein at most meals and snacks is going to be able to get you there. You don't have to eat massive quantities of meat to be able to get the volume of protein that you need, but you do have to be thoughtful and conscious about getting a protein source in at every meal and snack. It's powerful to help you build and maintain lean muscle mass, and a lot of people don't even realize how important it is to help maintain your energy level throughout the day because it helps to stabilize your blood sugar and make sure that you're not having these wicked swings of energy at varying points. So you're going to feel more normal and more fluid and even throughout your day, which I think most of us can really use.
I remember vividly the point in time when someone suggested I have protein shakes for breakfast. And I was like, I want to eat food for breakfast. And so I tried it and it didn't fill me up. And then I came to the realization of the 20-minute rule of setting a timer and giving yourself 20 minutes to eat something. And so now I have my protein shake in the car in the morning because I know how long it takes me to get downtown to work. And if it's gone before I get to downtown, I know I have failed at hitting the 20-minute rule. So talk to me a little bit about some of the tips and tricks that you talk about with nutrition when it comes to how we actually eat food.
So there's really two awesome habits that I think most people don't realize how powerful and impactful they can be. And while they are very similar, they are distinctly different. One is, just like you suggested, slowing down while you're eating. It's insanely powerful to make sure that you're aware of what's going into your body, how your body responds to that food, and the signal that your body gives you when you start to get a sense of satiety or fullness from the meals that you're consuming. And that brings me to the second piece of not just eating slowly, but stopping when you're actually 80% satisfied or 80% full, because there is a lag time between when you're ingesting food and how your body responds to the foods that you're consuming to signal how you're feeling. So if you eat to that point of fullness or beyond that, you've still got, 15 or 20 minutes of time before your body really fully responds or reacts to what you've eaten. So you could go from feeling satisfied to overly full, which is, we both know, is not a comfortable place to be, especially if you're going to work. It can be a place where you don't want to be. So again, if you are just spending a little bit more time being mindful and thoughtful around the speed of your food consumption, and then of course allowing yourself to respond appropriately to that level of satiety or fullness and stopping eating at 80%. Those can be two really empowering changes that you can make that doesn't necessarily mean you have to immediately change what you're eating. You're just changing how you're eating and allowing your food to engage in your lifestyle.
Well, and it's such an important idea, too, because no one is perfect 100% of the time. There's just
nor should you have to be.
Exactly. So let's say I'm at home and we order a pizza and I also make a salad. And instead of scarfing down three slices of pizza, I have some salad and I eat it slowly and I enjoy my piece of pizza. Because I think sometimes in our heads we think, oh, three slices of pizza is going to taste way better than the one slice of pizza, but it's the exact same food.
Right. And I think it's really powerful for people to realize that there's no such thing as good or bad when it comes to food. They're all a source of fuel. It's a matter of what you have, the portion size that you have it, and how frequently you choose to eat that various type of food. Because again, you bring up pizza. People love pizza. It's a staple of how we consume food in America and even beyond the borders of our country. Pizza is just part of the thread of who we are, I feel like. And if you tell somebody, you can't have pizza, you no longer can have coffee in the morning, I need you to not do this thing that you've always done, that you love so much and is part of the thread of your identity, all of a sudden, they're not interested and they're very turned off to making real lasting changes. I always look to add things to people's food and behaviors before I ever look to take anything away. Because more often than not, if you're adding to somebody's diet and helping them do more healthy things, they're going to naturally start shying away from doing the things that don't make them feel as good. So, like you said, you'll naturally start having less pizza and more salad because you feel better, because you recognize that that is a healthier choice for you, and you feel better about the outcome you get when you make that choice over others.
Oh, yeah. I felt it last week. I had carbs for the first, like, not, I obviously eat carbs, but I had, like, a wheat wrap.
You had different carbs.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Processed carbs for the first time in a while, and I felt like I'd been hit by a truck. So I totally get the idea of everything in moderation, but there is something to be said about once you get into the habit of fueling your body with food that's good for it, you right. do start to crave it.
And all food is not created equal. Again, you know, a slice of pizza from a carryout restaurant versus pizza you make at home on cauliflower crust with high-quality ingredients that you baked yourself, those are two distinctly different things that tend to have the same name. So the quality of food that you're eating is a huge player in this. Again, you know, depending upon how your body reacts to certain foods that you eat, it may be the food itself or it may be the level of the food that you ate, meaning you have a threshold to that. For instance, some people don't tolerate dairy, and some people can have small quantities of it before they get to that threshold with which they get those intolerance-type symptoms that we don't like to have around other individuals. Let's just put it that way.
Julie Brown is a nutrition coaching program manager with Lifetime. Julie, when we look at daily consumption of food, what are just the general rules that people should be looking at when it comes to planning out their meals?
Super powerful, as we talked about before, protein, getting that in every meal and snack, a great way to fuel your energy throughout the day. Make sure that the majority of your meals are composed around vegetables with a little bit of fruit. We don't do a great job at getting enough produce in our diet, and that should be a huge focus item for us as we're looking to consume healthy, balanced meals. And then, of course, don't be fearful of carbohydrates. Be respectful of them. They provide a great energy source for our bodies, but they can definitely get out of hand when it comes to portion size if we're not careful. The more active you are, the more carbohydrates you can generally tolerate. But then again, it all depends on the type of activity that you're doing and the unique goals that you have for your own healthy way of life. And then I can't state enough the importance of staying well hydrated with just good old clean water and taking some foundational supplements to help fill in the gaps, because even those of us who try to eat healthy at least 80% of the time, you know, we're just not going to get everything that we need from the food in our food supply. So it's always good to have a safety net there.
Julie Brown from Lifetime, thank you so much for joining the conversation. I am going to scoot into a commercial break so I can go actually fill up my water upstairs, because that is one habit that I have locked down, drinking enough water. We will be back with your reaction text to it if you want to chime in, 81807. You can give us a call, 651-989-9226. I'm Lindsay Gensel. I am filling in tonight. 9 to 1 a.m. I'm typically on the Chad Hartman Show. I'm his producer. I'll be back at that job tomorrow. But chime in. What works for you when it comes to meal planning and meal prepping? Is it an A+? Is it a C? Do you do it at all? What challenges are you finding when it comes to eating right and feeling good about what you're using to fuel your body? Because I'll say it, I'm not perfect by any means of the imagination. This is something that I work on every single day. And so if I can share something with you, if you can share something with me, that's how this all little cycle rolls. So we're going to take a quick break. Like I said, I'm going to run up to the water fountain, and we'll be back here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Doesn't this make you want to slow dance a little bit? Like, just be in the arms of, the arms of someone you know, those first couple times you slow danced at like the middle school dance, and there was a boy you had a crush on, and it was the very old-fashioned, your hands on his shoulders and his hands not on your hips, but, you know, on your waist. There were like 8 inches between you and him. Oh, those were the good old days. The good old days. I sometimes force John to slow dance with me in the kitchen. John is my boyfriend. I talk about him a lot, and that irritates some people, but he's like the biggest part of my life. That, cats, and food. So that's all I really got offering up here. No, someone did call in and say, who is the woman on the radio? She should introduce herself. So my name is Lindsay. I'm a Pisces. My birthday is March 18th. I would encourage you to send me a birthday present, but I don't like opening anything. So you can just, you know, give me a high five and send some good juju my way. That is my one quirk, is I hate opening cards. I hate opening mail. It's not a germ thing. It's a you're going to give me something nice, and I'm worried that my reaction is not going to be what you want it to be, and it makes me uncomfortable. I like to be the one to show affection. I don't like to receive it. You know what are the five love languages? One is acts of service. I'm just going to Google it real quick because I know I'm going to forget one of them. So, quality time, physical touch, gift giving, acts of service, and words of affirmation. I'm a words of affirmation giver. That is my area. I like to tell people what they mean to me. I don't want you to tell me back. I would just like it to end there. You know, like if I said to you, like, Susan, it's just really great working with you. Like, you're on point and you're in a good mood and I just enjoy being around you. That's where it ends. You're not allowed to reciprocate that by any means of the imagination. So I would say, you know, my birthday's coming up. You could send me something, but I will likely not open it, and then it will just sit on my desk for a very, very long time. I'm a acts of service and physical touch. I love holding hands. I'm old school. I like to hold hands. I like to touch. John has to keep reminding me, like, stop, just stop touching me. Stop, you know, I want to pet his hair. And so I'm just that annoying girlfriend, and he likes to do nice things for me and I don't appreciate them. So anyway. No, so going back to the conversation on nutrition, working in this building has been a huge challenge for me because people love to bring free food here. It feels like every day we're getting an email that the green room is full of free food from enter a restaurant. And it's always great food. It's always stuff I would like to eat. But do I need to eat my lunch and then also eat the Dickie's barbecue that just came in? I mean, because some days you're like, especially around the holidays, oh, when Ginny upstairs makes her cookie trays. And then it was literally like Christmas ended and I came back to work on the 28th and every single person in this building had brought the leftover sweets, candies, popcorn tins, whatever you can think of, and left it here. And so I know from a lot of people it's the office is the issue. And maybe it's different for me. You know, I'm on a show that's noon to three. I'm not going out to lunch. You know, I get people who are like, hey, could you meet for lunch? And I'm like, no, I can't. Unless you would like to eat at 10 a.m. or 4 p.m. That's my window. I'm busy otherwise. So most of the time I'm eating lunch right behind that board. If you ever hear Chad ask me a question and there's a very, very long pause, it's because I am eating lunch and I didn't know he was going to talk to me. Excuse me. And I have a mouthful of food. So I just, you know, when you think about what you can be doing on a daily basis to feel better about yourself, sometimes just eating better, eating well, it's not easy by any means of the imagination. You've got to put a work into it. But I will say eating healthy has been a big factor in me feeling good as someone who struggles with anxiety and depression. You know, it's kind of like this big old pie, and sleeping well does a part, exercising does a part, being surrounded by good people does a part, and nutrition and all of that is in there as well. Got a suggestion I want to share with you as I mentioned my experiment last week with egg salad. The Skinny Taste Facebook page, which, by the way, if you are not looking up tips and tricks on social media, the amount of mom bloggers who do this for a living, who are going to throw ideas at you, you should be checking it out. The Trader Joe's tzatziki dip in egg salad instead of mayonnaise. That sounds amazing. It says that the reviews for it are really yummy. And then someone just texted in, you mentioned protein shake for breakfast. What do you eat for lunch and supper? Very good question. Each week is pretty different. I will say this. I am lucky in the fact that I don't get bored with food very easily. So if I'm making a meal for the week, I'm pretty content. I will switch up the sauces or like the salad dressings, or I'll throw in guacamole if I'm getting really bored. But like this week, I did a veggie salad. So like chickpeas, black beans, which have a ton of protein in them. Carrots and cucumbers, red onion, all of it has a ton of fiber, which is really great when you're trying to eat healthy. I do grilled chicken. I don't marinate my chicken. I just do salt and pepper and a little garlic powder, and I get the outside nice and crispy. And then I'll do a ton of it, and I'll let it cool, and then I'll just chop it up and put it into a container, add spinach into that. Dinners, we switch things up. John cooks sometimes. I cook sometimes. A lot of stuff on the grill. It's kind of a tough time to do that. If you go to lindseygensel.com, I actually started blogging what I'm eating this week. And so it's got some ideas for you. I don't make any money off that website, so this is not sending you there and I'm going to get clickbait or anything like that. I love talking about food and I love sharing these ideas because I think if we can make it easier for people, it will make it a more approachable thing that people can add into their lives. So if you have any more questions, please text me. You can also email me at my website. That's lindseygensel.com. That'll email right to my personal website. And then my work website is lindsay.gensel@entercom.com.